Good morning, everybody. Pastor Mike here with another Watchman Pure Bible Study, Revelation chapter 9. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit. And I'm just kind of grinning from ear to ear because God gave me a revelation. Oh, I have a word. It's right here in the King James Bible. And just the addition to what we were dealing with last week, we were talking about the star. I think we identified the star, the key of the bottomless pit. We talked about how the Bible refers to the key all the time, but I want to deal with this concept of the cave or the pit that the angel of the bottomless pit, the Antichrist, and all these locusts, Joel's army. Where they're sealed in a pit, and that doorway is something, and I'm going to show you what the Bible says that doorway is. You hear people talking about a portal. We're going to open up a portal. We're going to open up this, open up that. You hear them talk, use that kind of talk. You hear it in the New Age movement. There's speculation that the large Hadron Collider, whatever that is, CERN out there in Europe, the Boson Higgs thingamabob with Shiva standing out in front of it. Google all that and you'll get what I'm talking about. There's speculation that they're trying to learn how to open a portal. Why are they trying to do that? Because there's something down in that portal, something in that pit that's down there that the devil wants loosed. And so he's got the key now. What's holding all of that closed? Let me use this phraseology. What is it that's binding those things? And I'm going to just kind of do a language study from the King James Bible, and I'm going to show you this. I call this Stones in the Way. I'd never really try to title the Bible studies as I'm doing them, but this is what I have in my notes here. And first place I want you to go, I'm going to kind of lay a foundation of what I'm talking about, where I'm coming from. Exodus chapter 32, verse 20. This is when Moses came down from Mount Sinai. He's got the two tables of the law in his hand, written on both sides, written in stone. They're in his hand. It's like Jesus coming down with the book in his hand. Okay, that's what you see in the book of Revelation. And so Moses is acting that out. He is prophetic typology, and he's acting that out. This is Christ coming the first time, because Jesus came to Israel the first time, made under the law, in the fashion of the law, and they rejected it. And so it's been broken, and he said, "This is my body which is broken for you." It's like the law being broken, the tables of commandments broken. And so anyway, Moses comes down, and he sees them down there having their little party, and kind of looks like a mega church worship service. And they're worshiping Baal. They have this calf that's made out of their gold. They took their earrings off and everything, melted it down, and Aaron said, "Out came this calf." Wow. And so anyway, they had this golden calf, which is Baal, which is the beast. They're worshiping the beast, okay? And so they're bowing to this image, and it's made of gold. And Moses is angry, and he's going to say, "Well, I'll tell you what, if this is what you want, this is what you're going to get." And we all know that story where he made them drink the calf. He made them drink the gold that was. But I want you to listen to the language of the scriptures. It's not enough to just think of these stories. Let's go to the pages and the words of the King James Bible and look at the words that are given here. Exodus 32:20, "And he took the calf which they had made and burned it in the fire." And I want you to notice he ground it to powder, and he strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. Now, something I want you to think about here, and I'm not prepared to really go into depth on this particular idea, but I want you to think about this and study this on your own. There's a curious, very curious thing in the King James Bible that relates gold to the beast. Number one, we have it right here. But number two, his number is 603 and 6. And the only other place you find that number that way is that you find it in the yearly amount of gold that Solomon received, or there's something about Solomon and his gold that was 603 talents or shekels or whatever it is. You'll have to go look that up, okay? So, and I'm looking at that and I'm going, boy, there's something there. There has to be something there. So it has to do with gold. I do know that in alchemy is about turning lead into gold, right? No, it's about turning mortals into gods. So alchemy is the religion. It's the science of the devil from Genesis chapter 3. And so I want you to think of this, because they all the time worshipped images of gold. Gold was their god, okay? And so now they're going to eat their god. In every mystery religion, even in Freemasonry, in the Roman Catholic Church, they have the idea that you consume the god and then it makes you the god, okay? That's what transubstantiation is all about, that if you literally eat this, you're eating the god. And now you're going to become, you have the God in you, and you're going to become the God. So I want you to think about this. He took the calf which they had made and burned it in the fire and ground it to powder. Okay, I want you to think about the language. Ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. 2 Kings 23, verse 6, the Bible says, he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem under the brook Kidron and burned it. He took the idols that were in the house of the Lord, here again, the false gods, beasts, burned it in the brook, at the brook Kidron, and stamped it to small powder. There's that word again, powder. And cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. That idea of powder, I can tell you that in Morals and Dogma, Albert Pike refers to the Grand Arcanum, which is the big secret. He refers to it as the divine powder. And he says that when the divine powder is consumed, or the divine powder is taken in, then it cures all human diseases and all human ailments. In other words, it's going to give mankind immortality. And so just think of the language that's being used here. And why is it that the King James is the only Bible in the whole universe that has this language? Okay, and as you can probably read on internet websites, King James was a Mason. He was a Mason, and he wore the apron, and he had it translated that way, him and Francis Bacon. Don't believe that stuff, okay? Don't believe the lie. Masons, if I know anything about Masons and secret societies and cults and mystery religions, they never actually write the secret down anywhere, in any book. It's not written down. Most of them don't even know it. This is God's Word. Just because it bears, and I don't think King James was a Mason, but it doesn't matter. He didn't have anything to do with it. Neither did Francis Bacon. Don't let anybody tell you that lie. It's a pure, absolute lie. If this is not God's word, then I'm done. I give up. I quit trying. If this is not God's word, because I don't, there is no other place in the world to turn. No, there's no other man. There's no other group. There's no other religion. There's no other denomination. There is nobody on this earth to turn to, not even Mike Hoggard, other than this book. You turn to this book, and if this book is a lie and a fabrication, it's over with. I'm done. Okay, but it's not. I promise you it's not. This is the Word of God. Now I want you to get this verse. Here's where I'm going with this. Okay, I just was looking at this. Just before I turned the camera on, I was looking at this idea of powder because this verse came into mind, and I thought it'd be a good way to start the study. Matthew chapter 21, verse 42, here's what the Bible says. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the capstone? No, it doesn't say that in the King James. It says it in the NIV, but not the King James. It's the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, the Jews, and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone, don't you listen, he's talking about the stone now. Okay? The stone. Israel rejected the stone when it was brought to them at Mount Sinai. They rejected it utterly. Okay? And that literally, the Ten Commandments, the law, the stone. They rejected Christ when he came the first time. He is that stone. And right now, the stone is this Bible and all who follow it. And I'm going to show you that from the scriptures. So anyway, whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. That is Mike Hoggard right there. Jesus had Mike Hoggard in mind when he said that. I guarantee you. I fell on this stone and was broken in many pieces. And God began to put everything back together again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I still to this day cannot get over that. Whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Now I want you to think about that, and think about all through the scripture. Now you have a stone. they set up memorial stones out of the River Jordan. Think of the stone that Jacob had laid for his pillow, and that's all the stone. Think of the rock that went with Israel. That rock is Christ. Just think of that idea. Think of the foundation stone that a house is built on. You can build the wise man built his house upon the rock. We sing that song all throughout Sunday school and Vacation Bible School, and it means Christ and the scriptures. So if you fall upon this and be broken, God will put all the pieces back together in your life. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. So think of Moses grinding he used a stone, probably used a stone. He ground the gold into powder and made them drink it. I didn't bother to look up 2 Kings 23, what king that was. Might have been Hezekiah. But anyway, he took all that stuff and ground it into powder. Okay? So just kind of ponder that idea. Think of Daniel chapter 2 in the fourth kingdom. The stone cut without hands crashes upon the 10 toes, which is the iron mixed with the miry clay, and grinds it into powder so that the whole thing falls down. Now, I want you to just kind of contemplate that for a while and just kind of put that on the side of your mind in your study and make little notes and say, I'm going to study that later. But I'm going to get into this idea of the stones now. And what is it that is holding this locust, Joel's army? What is it that's holding them in that place and keeping them from coming out and doing their destroying upon the earth? What is it that's preventing the Antichrist from coming out of that pit? Okay, what's holding him in there? And we're going to study this. I want you to keep this in mind now from the scriptures. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 2. Keep in mind now the stone grinding things to powder. And we're going to go look at the law, because the law dictated that people who had committed certain crimes had to have something done to them. Okay, what was it? Leviticus chapter 20, verse 2, the Bible says that again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Molech. Giveth any of his seed. Think of what seed is in the Bible. It's DNA, it's the Bible, it's the Word of God, it's the book, and so on. It's your offspring. That giveth any of his seed unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land, here is the death penalty, and here is the how is to be executed. He's not to be given a lethal injection. Okay? The people of the land shall stone him with stones. They take this person who is an infidel and who has given his seed unto Molech, and they're to stone them with stone, literally just pelt them with massive volumes of stone, and just they're covering him up with stones. Okay? Killing him with the stones are coming and falling upon this person, just like Jesus said, grinding him to powder. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 27. A man also or a woman that hath a Harry Potter book in their Sunday school room. Did I just say that? A man or also or a woman that hath a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. So here again, and there's many places in the law where someone is to be stoned with stones. That it means exactly what it says. That was the method of execution. God, and it was symbolic. God wanted to show them what was going to happen in the last day. Everything about the law is a prophecy of what's going to happen in the last days. Leviticus 24:23. Moses spake to the children of Israel that they should bring forth him that had cursed out of the camp and stone him with stones. And the children of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses. So here we have someone who's cursing. Remember Goliath And how was he killed? He was stoned. Okay? All these laws where they, I mean, you just get this picture. There's some old boy laying there, and they just take just the biggest rocks they can find, and they're just pelting him with these massive stones. They're killing him, but they're covering him up with these stones. Okay? So I want you to think about that. Deuteronomy 13:6. Deuteronomy 13 deals with the false prophet. Deuteronomy chapter 13 says if there is a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises up and he gives you a sign or a wonder and it comes to pass. Be careful, people. Be careful about following signs and wonders. Be careful about all the people running around. Oh, we're going to show miracles and signs and you fall for that. It's eye candy. It's what it is. It's meant to dazzle you and to make you think that this person's got the power of God in them, and you follow this rascal. You be careful about that stuff. They're going to lead you away to another god, is what they're going to do. So here's the remedy. Here's what happens when the Israelites find some. And by the way, in Deuteronomy 13, God specifically said that he sent this guy to prove Israel. He sent him to prove Israel whether or not they're going to follow God or they're going to follow the signs and wonders guy. Isn't it any wonder that we see these people, these signs and wonders people, running around all over the place? They're in multitudes. There are massive amounts of these people running around, and God sent every one of them so that it would be known who's going to follow the Bible and who's not going to follow the Bible. Okay? It's almost like God's taking everybody who's attention deficit. God says, now pay attention to the Bible. And the guy says, let me show you this. And we go, ooh. Okay? Follow the Bible. Keep with the Bible. Don't walk away from the stone. All right? So in Deuteronomy 13:6, he says, if thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul. He's talking about people that are close to us. People that we love, people that we care about. Thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods. That means don't go join the Masonic Lodge. Don't do it. Let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely of the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth, even unto the other end of the earth. Thou shalt not consent unto him, nor conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people, and thou shalt stone him with stones that he die, because he has sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So here again, the false prophet is to be stoned. He's to be covered up with stones. Now, and boy, God is serious about this. God is, you know what God's doing here? He's saying, who are you related to now? Who are you going to follow? You're going to, even if your own wife tells you, now let's go to such and such church over here. Boy, they're doing signs and wonders and they're prophesying everything. You say, you know what? I'm not going there. I am. You stand your ground and don't go. Okay? And boy, they'll be mad at you. They'll be mad at you and you're just going to have to, because God's, whose side are you going to be on? When everybody else around you follows the Antichrist and takes a mark, whose side are you going to be on? Okay? God already knows, by the way. You know what he's doing? He's showing you what you're made of. He's showing you how much you really care about him, how much you really love him. Been down that road. Okay? Deuteronomy 27, verse 4. Therefore it shall be when you be gone over Jordan, and you shall set up these stones, which I command you this day, in Mount Ebal, and thou shalt plaster them with plaster, and there thou shalt build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stones. Thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon them. Think about that. Think about the iron kingdom is not to touch the stones of the altar. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones. Thou shalt offer whole stones, not little pieces. Not, well, in the ancient manuscripts it says this, but we don't have the original manuscripts. He said the whole thing of whole stones. I lost my place here. Let me pick it up in verse 7 or verse 6. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones, and thou shalt offer burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord thy God. And thou shalt offer peace offerings, and shalt eat there, and rejoice before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law in a secret mystery tongue that nobody. No, it says very plainly. Come on. Come on. When are we going to wake up and realize that God is not speaking in these mystery tongues? He over and over, you just study the word plain or plainly in the scriptures. He wrote it plainly on tables. Paul said, now we speak plainly and not as Moses. I mean, he said, write it very plainly so that everybody in the world could know and read it and understand what it means. Not in some mystery language that, nope, oh, I speak a mystery language. Ooh, shambada-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, and what did you just say? I don't know. And can I tell you something? 1 Corinthians 14, if you want to defend prayer language, 1 Corinthians 14 demands that if you pray in that language, that there be an interpretation of it. You have to know what's being said. Go read it. Anyway, these stones here represent represents the altar. We are the living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Christ was the altar. Christ was the sacrifice. He was the priest. He was all of these things. All right. Joshua chapter 4, verse 3. And command ye them, saying, take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. In other words, think about, the river Jordan's a picture of baptism. Here the stones were brought out of the water, okay? They're raised up again. These stones used to be in the middle of the river. They're taken up, they're set up for a memorial so that children say, where'd these stones come from? And the dad could say, they came from the middle of that river. Because one day, God led our people across this river, and he dried that river up. And we walked, our forefathers walked on dry ground on this river and pulled those stones out of the middle of that river and built an altar, built a deal right here. There's 12 of them for each 12 tribes. It was to be a memorial, a reminder, okay? But the stones represent those that have been taken out of the water, just like Moses, those that have been taken out of the water. It's like baptism. The water is always a picture of like the grave, and we've been taken out of the grave and stood up, okay, and are living stones. Think about that. Let's see here. Now I want to get to some meat here. Now I've set this foundation of what these stones represent, okay, that we're the altar, we're the living sacrifice. We have the law written on us, okay? And it's very plain, okay? We believe in a plain gospel that's open to everybody. And then we have been taken out of the pit. We've been taken out of the deep and brought, and now we're alive again. So that's, I want you to think about these stones now. In Joshua chapter 7, verse 24, remember the story of Achan. When they went into Jericho, he took what he was not supposed to take. And they went through this process of finding out who it was, and now the judgment is going to be set upon him. Joshua 7, verse 24, and Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor, and Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they think of fire now. Where is fire?
It's down there.
They burned him with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place is called the Valley of Achor unto this day. And you studied the Valley of Achor. But they a great heap, there's a big mound of stones somewhere in this area to this day that was the remnant of what they had burned, that of Achan, as a memorial to what God does. God's deadly serious about this stuff, okay? Now, just kind of contemplate that for a while. So the stones are sealing in the man that is dead. Joshua chapter 8, verse 29. And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until eventide. Think of cursed as anyone who hangs on a tree. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass down from the tree. And notice that as soon as the sun was down. Because the mythology of sun worship is that when the sun starts falling, starts going down in the west, it is falling. It's been slain and it's dead. And now it's got to go into the underworld. It's going to go under your feet and it's going to go down into the pit. So anyway, when the sun was down, Joshua commanded they should take his carcass down from the tree, cast it at the entering of the gate of the city, and raise thereupon a great heap of stones that remaineth unto this day. Then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones, over which no man hath lift up any iron. There it is. And they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. This is so neat. It's so beautiful, this picture that he's drawing here. Here we have the Antichrist, the king of Ai. Okay? And he's hung in a tree. He's cursed. And now he's thrown down. They great heap of stones. And then they take those whole stones, build an altar, and do all this stuff. And they write on everything that we have seen so far right here in the story of this king of Ai. So I want you to think of who this king represents. God is just, he's using this Bible to show us into the spirit realm that you and I cannot see. He's showing us that. Then we have that story in Joshua chapter 10. I'm just so happy. I love studying things like this out of the Bible. It's so rich. Joshua chapter 10, verse 17. It was told Joshua, saying, the five kings. What trumpet blowing? Okay. The five kings are found hid in a cave at Makeda. And Joshua said, roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave and set men by it for to keep them. Okay. So the stones are going to be rolled in front of the pit. To seal these five kings in, fifth trumpet sounding, these kings, who do they represent? They represent Joel's army and the king in Revelation chapter 9. Now, Joshua chapter 10, verse 22. The number 22 is the number for Revelation, by the way. We have a book called the Book of Revelation. Go count how many chapters it has in it. Then said Joshua, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave. So there's going to be an opening now of the cave. The stones are what's keeping those kings in place. The stones are. Now the stones are going to be taken out of the way. 1 Samuel, if you don't know where I'm going yet, we'll get there. 1 Samuel 17:40. This is a Goliath, and he took a staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. I want you to think about that. Now, in fact, let me do this. Let's do this. Let me. I'm just going to float an idea. Okay, I'm going to float an idea to you. Everybody's pondering this, okay? Think of Jesus in John 11. And here Jesus is standing in front of the tomb of Lazarus. There's a dead man in there that is going to be resurrected. The shortest verse in the whole Bible, Jesus wept. That shows his compassion, his humanity, his love for people, even though Jesus knows that in 5 minutes he's going to be staring at Lazarus face to face, alive and breathing, even though he knows that, the sting of death is still there. And it hurts when we see people die. I've had that. I hate it. I will continue to hate it. Okay? But what does he say? He says, take ye away the stone. Okay? So they're taking the stone out of the way, so that the dead man can come back to life again. You'll see this all through the scriptures. There's always something holding it up. something holding it in. What was it in the tomb of Jesus? It was a great stone. Now the stone is rolled out of the way and Jesus comes out of the tomb. So here we have Antichrist. The Second Thessalonians, I'm floating you this idea, okay, that I see from the scriptures. Because everybody's asking a question about what's going to happen here. The mystery of iniquity is the exact opposite of the mystery of godliness. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be what? The word here is revealed. Go back, Joshua chapter 10, verse 22. Now that they've taken the stones out of the way, that wicked is revealed. Because that's the number for Revelation. Here they are coming back out now. Okay, and so anyway, whom the Lord shall destroy with the spirit of his mouth. You know what the spirit of the mouth of Jesus is? The Bible. What comes out of the mouth? In Revelation 19, there's a sword coming out of his mouth. What is that sword? It's this Bible right here. How? Think about it. How is it that the beast is destroyed? He's destroyed with the Bible. Is what he's destroyed with. He's going to be ground to powder because Christ is going to come down on him. Okay? So anyway, whom the Lord will destroy with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy, who shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with, even with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. That's exactly what we've been reading. Is that the one who gives all the signs and the wonders, they're to be covered over with stones. Okay, and held there. And here we have the deceiver, the mystery of iniquity, and there's something that is withholding him, keeping him where he is. And it's the stones. It is this Bible. It is those who believe this Bible. It's not all the religious denominations of the world working together hand in hand. It is those who believe this Bible, those who believe the book and say, God, the Bible's right and every man is a liar. That's who it is, okay? Now, you've heard this. Scholars will look at this and some people, and I'm not knocking anybody because, you know, I don't think I know anything. I just think I just read the book, all right? I've heard it said all my life is that the rapture is going to happen. The Holy Spirit is going to be taken off the earth. It does not say that. It does not say that anywhere in the scriptures. I have not found that yet. Okay? And I've looked for it, haven't found it yet. That idea that the Holy Spirit is taken off the earth, I think is unbiblical. I think that is an unbiblical way of saying that. Now, they may have just been thinking that, you know, God's Spirit is going to be withdrawn. That is a better way of saying it. But the idea here, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Well, I think that's the Holy Spirit. Well, I think it's this. Well, I think it's this. I think it's all of us working together. I think it's the Spirit of Christ. I think it's Christ, the stone, and we stones. 1 Peter. Let me read Scripture here. Okay? Just so you know, don't think I'm crazy. I have Scripture to believe what I believe. Ye also as lively stones. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a royal holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. That is also everything we've read. And we have the Word of God written upon us plainly. And I think that we are part of he who is going to be taken out of the way. Okay? So I don't believe the Holy Spirit's going to be taken off the earth. I think the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out again to Israel. I think it's going to be the saving of Israel and the destruction of man. Think of vials being poured out on the earth. Okay? And so we have a spirit of destruction. And clearly, Jesus has that spirit of destruction coming out of his mouth. Okay? The spirit of his mouth. He shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. So we have the spirit of destruction. Think of the flood. The very thing that is destroying the earth is what's saving Noah and this other eight, the eight people on the ark. It's simultaneous. And so now this might be more questions in your mind. Okay, Pastor Mike, when's the rapture? Okay, it is when God wants it to be. I don't date. I don't look for dates. I don't look for years. I used to a long time ago, and God said no. And I haven't done it since. And I'm not going to. And so if you have an interest in dates and date setting and times and everything like that, I'm not interested. I'm being nice about it, but I'm not interested. Okay? Those things are for the Father. That Bible's clear about that. And I am not to worry about tomorrow. I'm worried about today and what I'm doing today and what I can do for the Lord today. Okay, that's where my mind is right now. And so this doesn't have anything to do with dates and times and when this and when that. But I personally believe, according to the ideas that I see from the Scripture, is that we are part of what's holding him back. We are binding him. And he is bound in the earth right now. Okay? He will be loosed because the angel falls from heaven with the key so that he can be loosed. And now we're going to be taken out of the way so that he can come do his work. Okay, just things to think of, more things to study the Bible over, more reasons to believe the King James Bible above every other translation in the world. You will not get this kind of stuff. Now, if you think this is garbage, then let it be garbage to you, and you just go read whatever, okay? But if you think that there's something to this, let it drive you further into your own study of the Scriptures, and so you can glean what the Holy Ghost would have you glean, all right? That's what I'm trying to do more than anything. I'm not trying to tell you how it's going to be. I'm trying to provoke you to study this book and to understand what it says and be a help to you that way, all right? This is Pastor Mike. I love you, and God bless you. Thank you so much for your prayers for us and for everything you do to us, everything you mean to us. I appreciate it. God bless you. Bye-bye.